Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We have the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. You can assist with that because we're on all digital platforms. Please share our message far and wide. In this particular segment, we're going to talk about what my goals are with regard to TPUSA. It's not clickbait because I've said many times, I don't need to be doing this. There's other things that interest me more and hold my attention more than coming on here. This is a duty. In fact, let me digress just for a moment because I want to put my motives in pure public domain. First, when I first started doing this, I and 300 of my fellow community members in Northern Maricopa County were the victims of John McCain's plan to put a supermodal transportation hub through our area and destroy our property rights, force us off our land over time. They had time to do this. We engaged in an 8-year battle. And I took to the airwaves. Eventually, my appearances landed me with an offer to do a radio show. And then it's obviously grown from there and into other issues. Now, Annie DeRiso came on to help me. She was the wife of my late mentor, Bill Pollack. Bill had an interesting intelligence background, Air Force background, one of the most clever, intelligent inventors I've ever seen. And someday I'm going to give him full credit for something he did or tried to do with Enron regarding free energy. In many ways, he was kind of like Tesla Jr. of his time, and people just don't give him the credit. The people that know this are friends of mine like Vance Davis, who I'm interviewing at the end of this month, former NSA operative who's going to weigh in on a lot of things. Anyway, with regard to this story, Annie came on, and about 3 years into what I was doing, she said, Dave, this is your calling. You have an obligation to not just your community, but to your country and to your faith to right the wrong and correct evil as best you can. And she hammered me on this for a couple of years. Well, at the time, I was teaching my psychology, stat, and research courses. I was a college basketball coach. I was living a dream because I actually thought that opportunity had passed me by for various reasons. And I was living the dream. I didn't want to give that dream up. Eventually, I realized Annie was right. And he was right. So I'm here as a matter of duty. Now, if I'm going to put this much time into something, I'm going to try to make it somewhat profitable and self-sustaining. I'm not going to go into debt and make my family suffer because of personal interest. It's not their obligation. It's mine. Now, having said that and being very honest, I have specific goals. And the goals of this show, very simply, are this: to expose the truth. Promote the word of Jesus Christ in promoting the truth. And we are in a battle between good and evil. And I've said this many times, you're either on Team Jesus or Team Satan. There is no in between. Not to decide is to decide to be on Team Satan. That's just a fact. And I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying that is a fact. There is no middle ground sitting on the fence. Now, with regard to TPUSA, my objectives fit into this. I have specific objectives with regard to my dealings with TPUSA. First, I just want to say this. You know my history. I did not want to go down the conspiratorial route with regarding the assassination of Charlie Kirk. But if I was ever going to maintain my credibility about 10 days in, I had no choice. Either I dealt with this for the evil I was finding and the corruption I was finding, or I lose credibility. My first response was 1 million Charlie Kirks. Let's keep his work going. I'm so glad Erica Kirk is the CEO. The wife will continue on the husband's legacy out of loyalty, commitment, a joint commitment that they had in this public persona, which I'm finding out now was false. And that whole belief system was wrong. And I had to be dragged into this despite the fact I was seeing overwhelming evidence about the lack of sincerity and questionable actions, highly suspicious actions on the part of key members in the Inner Circle, as well as Erica Kirk. And it doesn't bring me joy and pride to criticize a widow, but she brings it on herself. And I denied it. In fact, people wrote to me, Dave, when are you going to wake up and realize what you should be seeing? You have a background in psychology. You've taught body language. What's wrong with you? And people were saying that to me. And I kept saying, I need to have more facts, not conspiratorial rumors. Well, the receipts started piling in, and I have to say Candace Owens had a great deal to do with this, but she was not the sole source of my concerns. It was my eyes that didn't want to accept the truth. It was my ears that could no longer deny the contradictions, the huge gaping contradictions that I found. So, having said that, it's time to lay out what I'm doing. I'm over 4 months into this after Charlie's assassination. And my goal is this, is that TPUSA has no influence over the young people. And I want to attempt to block that by showing what I believe from my experiences, my observation, and some evidence I've uncovered, evidence other people have uncovered, why they're not worthy of the trust that we formerly placed in this to help guide our youth. Our youth in the idea that this is a Christian nation, despite what Barack Obama declared. That number two, we should be God, family, country, in that order. Not oligarchs, government, no. Because that's what we got with the Democrats. Are we going to get that with any government? Yeah, but it's a matter of degree. And the degree in the Trump administration is far more citizen-friendly than we could ever hope to find from the Democratic side of the ledger. And I'm not a big believer entirely in the left-right paradigm, but there are instances where this works and the comparisons are accurate. So TPUSA needs to be negated for their influence on the youth that will grow into mature, middle-aged adults and will be running this country. And many of us, our children, and for some of you, your grandchildren, are going to enter into this picture. They're either going to live out an American ideal with constitutional liberties and economic opportunities and freedom and the lack of fear from imminent invasion, or you're going to go down the role of America is going to become, as President Trump said, a shithole. And he said that when he announced his first candidacy for president when he came down the escalator at Trump Towers. He's right. And excuse my off-color comment, but I'm quoting the president. And the president was correct in his observation. That's what we had become. And this is what he's trying to change. And we're trying to assist him in this. TPUSA works for the other side. And the Trump administration, unfortunately, because they say politics makes strange bedfellows, that is true. Because TPUSA and their Jewish donor connections and Netanyahu connections absolutely make Trump have to deal with Israel, have to, because the Middle East situation, we're looking at Iran's on the verge of collapse. We need to manage that collapse for the benefit of this country, not for the benefit of only Israel. And if we're not involved with Israel, Israel would dominate this situation and the United States would be left hanging out to dry. Israel doesn't really care about the U.S. in so much as what can we do for them? That's the extent. And this is what TPUSA has become, is a mouthpiece for Israel first and America second. Israel is a necessary ally. I wish we were under different alliances because Netanyahu's not the guy. He's always going to have to be held in check by President Trump. And I see evidence he's trying to do that. But it is, I'm not going to call it a necessary evil. Netanyahu is a necessary evil, not the people of Israel. But I am not going to allow our young people to be boots on the ground for the benefit of Israeli foreign war imperialism. They've already shown through Netanyahu their mettle. The genocide in Gaza is everything I needed to know. Should they have gone after Hamas? Yeah, but explain the six-hour stand-down, Netanyahu, when you know you can cover your country anywhere within 3 minutes. And Charlie Kirk pointed that out on the Patrick Bet-David show. And we've played that quote for you. So I will not support an organization that puts America at best second. And that's what they've done. I will not embrace an organization that won't be transparent with its nonprofit finances, making money off of people like me, a taxpayer. I think they've done enough to forfeit their nonprofit status. I think they've done enough to have members prosecuted. Just go look at Wolves and Finances, Zach DiGregorio. And I've covered a lot of the stuff parallel to Zach. He's gone way beyond. And I will tell you this, TPUSA financially, by my judgment, is a rogue financial organization and operates in many areas outside the law. Just not filing the 990 forms on time is example of what I'm saying. If you and I do that, we get our butts fined and severely so. We might even face jail time. But they just get to skate right on because of their preferred status. The other thing with TPUSA, why I cannot support them and I want to eliminate their influence on our young adults, is the fact that Charlie ordered an audit 8 days before his death. And the only person that could cancel that audit is the CEO. Who's the CEO? Charlie's wife. Scratch my head. Color me surprised. I know one thing. If I had ordered an audit and something happened to me, my wife would make damn sure that audit was completed. And that is the most damning evidence I can point, except one other thing. You have an organization that says, oh, we base ourselves on Charlie Kirk's notion of free speech and let's exchange ideas without hostility, vehemence, and violence. What a wonderful concept Charlie was living. But instead, what do? Don't you look at our finances? Don't you question our motives? We're giving all information to the authorities. Really? Well, if you're doing that, then you should welcome citizen journalistic participation. Because we're asking the questions that Kash Patel couldn't ask because of the Israeli-Middle East peace agreement that's being held together by a thread. And we can't have flare-ups in the Middle East right now as we're trying to bend the Venezuelan situation to the benefit of the United States, as well as manage the future Iranian situation. For the same reasons, we can't have flare-ups. This is why Israel and Netanyahu is a necessary evil entity that we've got to deal with. Notice I'm not saying Israel, I'm saying Netanyahu. You know, when he went to visit Rabin's, the assassinated prime minister of Israel from 30 years ago, when he went to visit his widow, she wouldn't even see him. Why do you think that was true? And we've had Jewish leaders on this show who've told that story, not once, but twice. He's not a man that we want to lay down with, but unfortunately, right now, you got to deal with the hand you're dealt. But TPUSA is owned by that individual. He controls them through the use of donors. They want the money. And you know, here's something else I really find interesting. Candace Owens is making hundreds of thousands of dollars on the broadcasting of Charlie's and fueling her conspiracy theories, and she's making money off of it. Really? Well, TPUSA has made $140 million off the memory of the dead Charlie Kirk. So if you want to talk about major hypocrisy, we don't have to go any farther than TPUSA. Oh, but we give all the information to the authorities, but you people out there, shut your mouth. We believe the 30-06 theory. There's no problem with crime scene paving over less than 48 hours after the assassination. And the fact that our people from TPUSA are caught on video doing what? Disassembling the crime scene. Seconds after Charlie's down, and then people who should have been horrified and rushing to his aid, like the great Mikey McCoy, the amazing Mikey McCoy, walks away without giving Charlie a second look. He didn't even look down at the body. The tape is there for you to review. I can't support an organization that operates like this. But then I'll leave you with a really bad taste in your mouth. If everything I said was wrong, and everything I've said is 100% verifiable, but if everything I said was wrong, there still would be one thing besides the audit that would send me over the edge and saying, I will never support this organization and I will work to negate its influence over our young adults. And that was the mock-up of Charlie's assassination scene at America Fest, where people could have their pictures taken through selfies next to Charlie's portrait, and they were selling merchandise right out of that area. If that doesn't make your skin crawl, not much would. I want an organization that supports America First, lives out its Christian claims. I don't expect you to be perfect, Teep USA, but you're the antithesis of an organization that I would think no one should follow. No one other than the donors loyal to Netanyahu should want to support. Nobody. Everybody who's not one of those kinds of donors should request a refund. This is spiritual malpractice. And I wanted to come on here and just share with you my role in what I'm doing. This isn't for clickbaits. Like I said, if this all ended today and we lost the internet entirely, and I couldn't have a podcast, and I didn't have social media, I didn't have a website, I wasn't on radio networks and their affiliates. If I had none of that, I got other stuff I love to do. And I have a hard time fitting that in. And I got to tell you, it's a balancing act with this and what I want to do with my family and finding the time to do it. So, and this is what really makes me dangerous to the other side. I'm not beholden to any sponsor. If any sponsor came to me and says, we can't talk about this anymore, I'd say, hey, thank you for our relationship, but we're moving on away from you. And I've done that. I've lost employment opportunities because of this. I've lost sponsorships because of this, because I won't compromise. And you say, why do you identify so much with Candace Owens? Because in her, I see a lot in me. And what I mean is, she doesn't give a crap what you think. She's going to tell you what she thinks she has found, what she can prove. And she's going to put it forward. And what you do with it is up to you. And your criticisms don't mean a whole lot. The only time I've really heard her fire back is against Ben Shapiro. He's not even worth my time and attention. My son brought him up to me the other day. He used to like Shapiro years ago when he was in high school. And he didn't have the time of day for him today. And I told him, I said, he's not even worth his name coming out of our mouth. He's been exposed for who and what he is. And he is part of this TPUSA mantra. Crush all verbal resistance. Crush any questioning. Here's the bottom line. TPUSA is a lobbying agent to the U.S. government on behalf of Israel. They should be forced to register, as should AIPAC. AIPAC has way too much influence. We shouldn't allow any foreigners. I don't care if you're from Israel or India, doesn't make any difference to me. You should have no direct financial relationship with an American politician. That is bribery. And AIPAC engages in bribery, and they don't even have to register like every other foreign lobbyist entry. You have ambassadors that can tell our politicians and even come on our media and express their views. But the minute that you put money into someone's campaign, you own a part or all of them. And AIPAC owns too many of our politicians. And one of them is going to surprise you when this name comes out of my mouth, because we're going to talk about her next. And her name is Anna Paulina Luna, who I've sung praises on. And she has a lot of viewpoints I agree with. I totally agree with her on many points, but she, let's put it this way, she's owned by a foreign entity. And we're going to expose that right here on the Common Sense Show. Stay tuned. Hey, if you've not checked out our TV show, we're dropping three more entries today. And people love it. They love the hiding in plain sight, which is me having fun. It's kind of like my favorite radio show used to be Art Bell. And I actually had bought this VersaCorder where I could actually record because it was on too late for me to function the next day and listen to. And we all had cassette players. So I'd take that cassette out of the VersaCorder and I'd play it in my car when I would drive to work. And it was fascinating stuff. And from there, I got a lot of interest spurred in a lot of different areas. Plus, I get to pursue things like quantum physics, psychology, and so forth, and science fiction, which I'm a fan of. And it's all there on the commonsenseshow.tv. Check it out. And also check out what we're going to say about Luna. And by the way, I'm not anti Anna Pauli and Luna. I'm not anti her at all. I think she's done a lot more good, but there are associations there that trouble me. They need to be pointed out, and I'm going to call her to disassociate. We'll see you back here next time. Thanks for joining us. When I'm done with my recording today, I'm going to do something that used to bring me fear, apprehension, and a couple of days of inactivity following. And it's leg day. Bulgarian split squats, deadlifts, sled pulls, farmer's walk, leg press. I don't have the fear anymore. I mean, I have shadow memories thinking, is this going to be okay? And then it is. And here's the reason why. As I was rehabilitating my body from the RSV attack that I had, the joints started to do their old tricks. But I was told, use this, rub it on. It took 6 to 8 weeks. I'll tell you, it's not use it today. Tomorrow it's better. But this grows pluripotent stem cells. The Nanosoma liquid gel. Rub it on your joints. Just keep going. Do what you can do. And there's going to come a day when you're not going to have the pain or the inflammation. I swear by this product. And it's helped make me what I am today. Unafraid when I go to the gym. Unafraid of the pain I used to feel, the swelling, the disfigurement of the joints. Not any longer. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges if you want the relief that I got. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. You know, Brian Harpole, you're formally invited to come on my show. Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show. Put your name in subject box. Okay, I'll verify that it's a real email. And then I'll have you on the show because you need to answer some questions. Because as I get receipts and then other people are validating the receipts, I'm speaking up. Set this aside. Let's go down History Boulevard. Dealey Plaza. November 1963, open windows, bubble off the car, president's lead car, 14 miles an hour going around the curve from Houston on to Elm, all illegal and Secret Service violations. The way you get to a leader, according to the old CIA manual of Latin American assassinations, circa 1960, is to compromise the bodyguard. So, Brian, you want to come on and answer these questions? Maybe you have legitimate. I go, I hadn't thought of that. Didn't know that. Thanks for bringing that forth. And I'll just have to go out and tell my audience this is my new position, which I'm confident I'm not going to have to do. And I don't believe you're going to accept my invitation to come on because I'm uncompromising. Because, as I said before, if I don't continue doing this, I don't give a shit. I could care less. And that's what makes me dangerous because I don't have to think about losing sponsors or anything else. I just say, that's it. I want the truth. And I'm commanded as a Christian to stand up against evil and injustice and call it out. Well, I believe this is what I'm doing. So, Brian, feel free to come on the show and defend yourself. Here's what we have with Kennedy. Compromised security. I firmly know. Subject to contradiction from the powers that be. By the way, Brian, I do have a question for you. Is it true that your firm is pro-Israel? Been told it is. Is it true that your firm was stopped from doing Charlie's security post 1922, excuse me, 2022, and just magically for this one event, you come back. I don't know if that's true or not. I'd like to know the answer to that question. Now, we've talked about the horse crap explanation. Bad PR move to have Brian go on Sean Ryan's show. And we tried to get access to the rooftops, but the president of UVU wouldn't let us. Sorry, that's a weak ass lame excuse. You don't do the event and you go public and say, he's the reason we're not doing the event because we can't protect our principal. Or you put drones up. You didn't do anything. You just acquiesced according to you. Looks like Kennedy to me. Looks like Secret Service, November 9, 1963. Let's take a look here. It's something that's broken. I've had this for a while, and you guys know that I have alluded to this before, and you know that this is something I've exposed, and I'm just queuing this up for the sound so the listening audience can hear this very, very clearly. And you're going to be shocked at what you hear, folks. We're going to do Candace a little bit here. But I want to go through here and I just want to show this bombshell. Charlie Kirk's security team had zero plan for the next tour stop. Well, maybe that's the MO on how they do business. Au contraire, mon frère, it is not. It is not. I have alluded to elements of this, but I didn't feel I had enough solid backing to come out with a full, comprehensive. Charlie was compromised by his security, although I surely insinuated it many times. Now we have receipts from outside people not connected directly to me. So I gain nothing. These people gain nothing from us saying the same thing, except we have the satisfaction that we believe we're conveying the truth. Candace dropped a massive red flag that someone leaked to her. Charlie's security team, led by Brian Harpole, never bothered to create or communicate any security plan for the scheduled September 11th event at Therese Bible College, the very next stop on the tour after UVU. Brian Harpole previously bragged on Sean Ryan's, boy, that was a mistake for him to go on there, but on his show about how they generally do advance planning, questionnaires, permitting, and all the busy work days in advance of an event. But for this one with Therese College, nothing. No prep at all. Did they really know Charlie would be dead and never reach the event? This isn't just sloppy. This is suspicious as hell. Now, here's something else I've covered that's not in this report, but I have showed you previously a standard UVU event agreement. The first section, labeled number one, is the security provisions. But in the TPUSA local chapter that signed the agreement with UVU, number one paragraph is gone. Why would you not have mentioned and show preparations for security? How many? What will be the cost? Where will they be? What kind of things do you need from us? Why would that be eliminated? Okay, that adds fuel to this fire. All right, next. Candace quoted, another glaring oddity in the security protocol, the internet's connecting the dots, and this is not good. We deserve real answers. Who dropped the ball or was it intentional? Okay, now, gonna play a clip here from Candace. Just gonna step back and we're just gonna let you watch this.
Back in the 90s at an evangelical university. But first, we have to revisit Brian Harpole's story about how far in advance they typically plan security. Because someone has leaked to me another glaring oddity in this security protocol. Let's jump right back in. Welcome back to Candace. PR nightmare. That's cool to sit down with Sean Ryan. Made a terrible mistake. Big PR mistake, PR nightmare. That's kind of been the story here. one long, bad PR decision after the next, because the issue is Brian said too much. The internet is meticulous. The internet is clocking them every sentence. It's really easy to catch people in inconsistencies and then to keep replaying what they said about certain things, especially when they don't add up. So I would like to gently remind you all back at home what Brian Harpole said about what typical preparations entail for Charlie Kirk events. Take a listen.
Let's move into the threat assessment and the pre-planning for the event.
Absolutely.
How many days prior were you guys there?
We generally, the permitting process and all that goes on behind the scenes. And then there's a questionnaires that are filled out that we used to, there was a lot of busy work. And then so, you know, kind of like in the military, what you did, we create forms that, hey, let's get this information up front. Mm-hmm. And so that we have a duplication process so that we can confirm it. And so we started our first, before that one, the 24th of the month prior. And so, and that was with the hard conversations, meetings.
You started that on the 24th?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's
2 weeks.
At least. No, well, it started before that with the intelligence gathering and all that. But the hard conversations, the sharing of information.
Okay. So before the 24th, but let's just go with the 24th. 7 + 10, that's 17 days before. But for the next college, Therese Bible College, no days of preparation.
In the conference calls, the data sheets, and we put that in a timeline on an app so that this all goes up and every guy that's on that job can see all the intel that comes in. It's a decentralized command model for the company. And so anybody can make command decisions for the betterment of the client or the team. And so everything goes on that app. And so when I get it, they get it. And when whoever's gathering that intel, it gets it. There's no hold. There's no power hold on it. And so that first information came in on the 24th, and then the information share starts where we're walking through, you know, everything that you need for a detail.
Everything that you need for a detail, obviously, elsewhere in the interview, he describes this conversation that he had with the chief of police. He's upset about the chief of police not covering the rooftops because he feels that his team was on it. So on it. You're coordinating with the whole police department. You're discussing drones. Drones were not allowed. And so they just had to let that go. Well, interestingly enough, I received a tip from someone that was directly involved with the planning of an event that Charlie Kirk was supposed to attend the following day, on September 11th, the day after his assassination. Charlie was slated to speak in Woodland Park, Colorado, at the Therese Bible College. Okay, so that's in Woodland Park, Colorado. He was slated to speak there. And according to this person, after Charlie got assassinated, there was a bit of a panicked meeting that took place, which was headed by the chief of police. They decided to transform this event into a vigil, and they were panicked because, believe it or not, they had absolutely no security plan in place. They thought, how odd. We don't have a security plan in place. Now we better consider this.
So the hints I've dropped, the various things that I have downloaded here, now are dots that are interconnected with Project Constitution, with Candace, and with my confidential source on this material that basically told me the same thing word for word. And the reason I haven't come out and connected the dots and said definitively this is what happened is because it was a confidential source. But when you start getting confirmation from people that step out in the light, unlike my source was afraid to do that, then you have to hold off until you get other confirmation, which we now have. What we look like here, and Brian, come on my show, it looks like a compromised situation. You don't let your subject come out if you can't cover by drone or by direct line of sight rooftop surveillance. And see, and that's even assuming that a 30-06 could do what the FBI says it did. No exit wound, and Charlie's head's intact, and he's got the Superman backbone. No. The whole narrative falls apart. And then we've got Brian Harpole, identified by Mitch Snow, and the alibi falls apart. You can produce tickets all you want. Doesn't mean you're on the plane. You can produce anything you want, but if the timeline doesn't match up to the exact day, then you don't have an alibi. And this is what happened there for he, Erica Kirk, and the ex-boyfriend, or maybe ex-boyfriend, Cabot Phillips, who has now conveniently replaced Charlie Kirk on the TPUSA lecture circuit. My humble opinion, doomed to fail spectacularly. I thought you would find this to be interesting, people, because we have to do some jumping around because facts don't come to us segmented, orderly, in chronological order. You don't get them that way. You get some here, you get some here, and then pretty soon the dots start connecting. You got to go back and revise your presentation to connect previously unconnected dots. That's part of what this is about right here. But what we have is compromised security. Whether it's willful or just sheer neglect and incompetence, I'll leave it to you to decide from what you've seen. And you've heard from three sources here, Candace, me, and Project Constitution. And there are other people now that are coming out with this as well. And there'll be more. So you have one of the elements of a well-planned orchestrated assassination, which is compromised security. It's almost always the fact that security is compromised. That's why I opened with JFK Dealey Plaza, the classic example. Then you get into the individual players and their motives. And when their motives include obscuring questionable money practices that the victim was calling for an audit to expose, then you start to get personalities. You get individual motives that coalesce together to form a joint action because people have different motives in this. And then, of course, you get the nation of Israel. Now, I am so sorry. We have been told by Barry Weiss, running CBS News now, that you're not supposed to ask questions. It's disrespectful. And she's calling for the deplatforming. And her speech is much like her colleague, Ben Shapiro. Barry, you can come on my show too. But you're going to be respectful or I will cut you off. You'll be allowed to say what you want to say. I will respond with what I want to say and what I want to ask without interference. We can do it live stream. Brian Harpole, we can do it live stream. Be prepared to defend your receipts. Because once you offer receipts, Brian, it's up to you to defend the authenticity. It's up to you. It's not up to me to disprove it. You brought information forward. We're now going to make you defend. And then I'm issuing an invitation to the UVU police chief. I want you to come on because we're going to put you under the spotlight next. And we want you to come on and you either confirm or disconfirm these statements by Brian Harpole about your lack of cooperation with the protection of Charlie Kirk as voiced by Brian Harpole on Sean Ryan's podcast. No stone unturned. This is a national security matter, as I have pointed out. This isn't just a crime. This isn't just an assault upon the American people because they love Charlie overwhelmingly. That's all that, but it's a lot more. This is national security because a powerful organization that now totals, in Erica Kirk's words, $5 billion. This is an organization that potentially has the money and influence to move policy. And I don't want anything to do with America coordinating with TPUSA to modify policy in any way that could affect us because they've been shown they can't be trusted and they should not have this kind of power. And we need to expose who and what they are to the public so they're running on thin ice. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show, and we're going to do a two-part analysis, and I'm not sure how we're going to spread it out yet, but two different segments on Mexico. Venezuela, Iran is falling as we speak. We heard from Shaheen Gobadi, who's a political refugee, who's a former parliament member in Iran. And he detailed how 130 communities are under siege by the people and the army can't contain it. It's a matter of time. Venezuela? Yeah, exactly. Well, a lot of people are saying Mexico should be next. And I agree. But I wouldn't do it in the same way that Venezuela is happening. Mexico is right now under the control of the cartel. And despite the assurances, it's not true. We're going to point to a development involving journalism in Mexico that just shows you how out of control Mexico is. And then we're going to bootstrap that right into why this is a direct threat to America. And I'm not advocating for a direct confrontation with the Mexican government, although I'm sure they're smart enough to stay out of the way about what I'm going to be advocating for. But I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if we continue to ignore this problem in Mexico, it gives China a base of operations to launch a Red Dawn invasion, as did Venezuela, as does Colombia, as does Nicaragua, as does Cuba. Am I saying we could be in danger of being invaded? Well, the idea of Red Dawn just didn't pop out of nowhere. It's a scenario that's been rehearsed many times in the Naval War College. So this is a legitimate threat. And what are the options available to President Trump to neutralize the threat? And I find it interesting that members of Congress want to basically stop this president from defending us against invasion. Invasion of fentanyl, that's an act of war. Invasion of terrorists, which is an act of war. And eventually, invasion of military to attack America. I believe the Red Dawn scenario is alive and well, not tomorrow, not next month, but I do believe this is a legitimate threat. And we're going to start with the small seeds and grow the story as it gets bigger. Claudia Sheinbaum is an enemy of the United States. And if you don't think that's true, then why are 1 in 10 people born in Mexico, why are they here in America? And you know, you've never, ever, ever heard me say that we should deport everyone who's undocumented. What I've called for is a step up in immigration administration, and we should vet people that are here for suitability. And if you got cartel ties, you got serious criminal record. I don't mean shoplifting and jaywalking. I'm talking pedophilia, murder, armed robbery. Those people don't belong here, and they need to be immediately deported for the safety of this country. We owe these people nothing. The other people that are here, and this is not going to be popular with a lot of Americans that thinks that one size fits all with problem solving, but the other people that are here that wait on your tables and manicure your lawns and so forth, they need to be looked at because we can't deport 50 million people. We can't deport 50 million people. But we sure as hell can vet most of them that are here and weed out the most serious threats to America. And I understand why people in Mexico want to leave that corrupt and dangerous place. It's very dangerous. And I've heard this for years. I once coached a basketball player in college who was born here, but his parents came, and they came to escape the tyranny they were living under. And it was real mafia. Well, whatever you make, we're taking half of it. And they went through that, and they went through violence and destroying private property, and the government would do nothing because the police were all on the take. So I understand that there are really political refugees, but we can't solve the problem by continuing to absorb people. We do not have the infrastructure to take on tens of millions of refugees. We don't have the ability. And we're not getting people in this country who are even, for the most part, middle class. We're getting largely people that have less than a sixth grade education, minimal skills other than the willingness to work hard and do manual labor, And we can't continue to take millions upon millions upon millions. But the root of the problem is the corruption of our next door neighbor. This is what's leading to this problem. And of course, corporate America loves the cheap labor. Okay, so they exhibit their influence on politicians to, it's not that bad. Shh, here's some money for your next campaign. I'm going to get into it right here on the Common Sense Show, and we're going to show you just how bad the problem is. And then we're actually going to do a follow-up on what President Trump should be doing. And some of you are going to sit back and go, whoa, has Dave turned into a neocon? Not in the least. But I believe in repudiating and arresting and neutralizing physical threats to the United States, not ideological threats, not national sovereignty of other nations, but when a threat in another nation threatens the lives of our country, well, then we need to take action. But how we take action is the real important consideration. And I think most Americans agree, we need to take action. But most people default to the position, well, let's just round everybody up and send them on their way. One, we don't have the resources. Two, it's an impossible task. Three, if we really embarked on that on a national mission, it would literally take years, if not a couple of decades. And then you've got legal issues because people have kids. And when they're born in this country, now you have a legal problem. You may not like the law. You may not like birthright citizenship, but it's a problem. Anyway, we're going to get into one aspect of this here. And I'm going to show you just how corrupt the Sheinbaum administration is. She's as bad as Nieto. And remember, it was in the El Chapo trial, and they tried to censor this, but it didn't get censored, that Nieto took, according to El Chapo, over $100 million from the cartel to look the other way and to actually help them. That was $100 million personally. And El Chapo said he was part of that. Sheinbaum is no different. I can't give you dollars and cents, or should I say pesos. I can't give you that. We don't have that information. But we have a direction of the government that shows there's been no departure in the relationship between the cartels that mean us harm and the government of Mexico. And from there, we're actually going to proceed. This is a major, major issue. And I know some of you are saying, well, Dave, you got more on Charlie Kirk? Oh, yes, we do. Stay tuned. We're coming out with something new today. This story continues to unfold, and this story is also a national security risk. And I view TPUSA, or should I call them the TPIDF, I view them as a national security threat. Not just a criminal organization with money dealings that thoroughly need to be investigated with punishments attached, but we'll get there. We'll get there. I wouldn't want to be President Trump. I'll just say that. I wouldn't want to be President Trump. But what I would want to be is someone who is able to listen to reason that, you know, crypto, Bitcoin is being artificially repressed by the rich while they try to buy up as much of the 21 million that's available in Bitcoin. That's almost over. If you're going to get into crypto and you're going to realize the short-term explosive gains that are coming, and we've seen it before, but not on this level, this is the time. Well, I got this money here, Ethel. What should I do with it? You could put it in the bank. Well, wait a minute. We'll lose half the money in 5 years. Can't do that. Gold is good, and you need to put some in gold to preserve your wealth. But if you want to grow anything, well, there's only five entities making money on the stock market. Okay. And then a few other people. My friend Bob Kudla is doing really well, but it's a minor operation. How about this? How about you go to My Digital Money, who I trust, and you start lining up at low prices, the Bitcoin and crypto. I like XRP myself. And wait for the explosion. Wait for the explosion. And there are a lot of wannabe companies out there that you can't trust. This is not one of them. MyDigitalMoney.com is where you go, MyDigitalMoney.com. And let's take a look at a story here, and this will give you insight into Mexico and then the Mexican government corruption. Okay, now this is from a publication here called MexicanNewsReport.com, and this is an English translation of what was published in Spanish. Okay, now you go here and you can see the URL there if you're looking at this visually. If not, just go to MexicoNewsReport.com and follow the links. Okay, now in Mexico, and this is telling about this administration, there are three confirmed murder journalists in Mexico. Okay, and I'm going to go through each one of these very quickly because this is the symptom of a bigger problem. You've got Celotano Jesus de Guerrero of Global Mexico Social Media Platform. And on January 17th of last year, according to the IFJ report, armed individuals on motorcycles attacked Celotano de Jesus Guerrero in the parking lot of San Antonio Parish on the 17th of January. The journalist was killed. Look at this. Despite having state protection for more than 10 years. So the state gave up this person that they had been protecting because of what they were writing about cartel activities. And then the second case here is Kristen Zavala of El Cenis, February 3rd, 2025. According to the report, this journalist was shot dead in the early morning hours of the 2nd of March, okay, while inside a vehicle with another person. Zavala covered local politics and public safety on a social media page and had been under state protection since 2021 due to threats to his reporting. Then there, the third case is Miguel Angel Beltran, October 25th, 2025. According to this report, the body of Miguel Beltran, journalist and owner of the new outlet La Gazeta Durango, was found in a section of the Durango-Mazatlan Highway, and he too had received protection. When you have the abject murder of journalists exposing cartel connections to government officials, and they end up dead, and they're supposedly under state protection, why don't we just say they got served up on a silver platter? Now, if you think this problem is going to stop in Mexico, can I remind you? Well, let me just tell you a quick story. So we had a social gathering last night of family members, celebrate some joint birthdays and things like that. And I live northwest Maricopa County. Some of our relatives live in southeast Pinal County, which is just south of Maricopa County, metropolitan Phoenix. And between there and an area going down to Casa Grande, which is about an hour, okay, you don't want your car to break down because that area is controlled by the cartel. And there are reports of reporters that you better shut up or we're coming for you. So if you think this problem is just going to be south of the border, think again. I mean, here I'm being told by family members, you don't want your car to break down in this area. It is total cartel country. We're talking Pinal County, which lies largely between Phoenix metropolitan area and Tucson. This is a huge problem. And then, of course, we have the trafficking operations. We had a judge here in Phoenix area that was found with millions of dollars and all kinds of nefarious activities, including fentanyl. Fentanyl. That's an act of war. When you send fentanyl into our country, you are committing an act not of terrorism, but of direct warfare against the people of the United States. Now, this problem is being pushed and supported by the Mexican government. Oh, we talk out of one side of our mouth. We're about law enforcement. We're coming after these people, and they arrest a few underlings for show. But that's it. But in effect, they're just as much on the payroll as Nieto was, according to El Chapo. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And now Mexico has done something really serious economically. They've not just committed war through neglect and actually political support on America. Now they've declared war economically. We're going to cover that in part two.